Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Fantastic. It was awesome, and we're looking forward to doing great things with them in the months ahead. As the new school year starts in September, we're going to be doing a whole lot of things, and so you'll hear us talk about that. But today I want to continue on in our series that we've been embarking upon called, what? Y'all don't even know. Running from Your Life. I got an amen back there. We've been in this series called Running from Your Life. Part one of the series was called On the Run and talking about Jonah. We've been looking at Jonah's life and Jonah's, path that he's been taking through the book of Jonah, and how oftentimes we're either in one of two categories. We're either running to God or we're running from God. And we talked about how running from God means that you are running from your life because you're running from God's purpose and God's plan from your life. And last week we talked about how running from God always leads to a dead end. But the good news is when we hit a dead end, we can always turn back to God, and he's with us even at our dead end, and he's able to rescue us from our dead end type of a situation. Anybody grateful that God will meet you at your dead end and rescue you? Come on, I thought I would get a few more amens. Anybody grateful that God can rescue you from the pit of where you are, not because of what he did, but because of what you did? He can save you from your own mess. And so today, I want to talk about Jonah chapter 3 and spend some time here. And I want to read just a few verses in its entirety. And I'm not going to go verse by verse, but I really want to give us the summary and the theme of what I believe that God has given us today as a church. And just to let y'all know, man, I wrestled with this message for like the past 5 days. Normally, like, I start working on my sermon like Tuesday, and by Thursday, I pretty much got like 90% of it done. That did not happen this week. Like, it got to Friday, I was bone dry, didn't have nothing. Saturday morning came, Saturday afternoon came, didn't have nothing. And then all of a sudden last night, I spent some more time in prayer, and it was just like, it just came like a flood. And usually when that happens, it's typically because, like I believe that God has something specifically that he wants to speak to many of us here today. And I believe that this message right here is going to help some people get set free. I hope you guys are ready for that. Y'all ready for that?
Yeah.
So here in Jonah chapter 3, here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Somebody say second time. Says, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a 3-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh will be demolished. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed the fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Verse 6 says, when word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne. He took off his royal robe. He put on sackcloth and he sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh by order of the king and his nobles. No person or animal, herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth. And everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. He did not do it. And if you're taking notes, I'm calling today's message, Moving in the Right Direction. I want you to look at the person beside you and ask them, neighbor, are you moving in the right direction? Find somebody else across the room and shout it out loud. Are you moving in the right direction? Amen. Are you moving in the right direction? If you're like me, oftentimes when it comes to going to new places and traveling to new places, if you're like me, you can have some challenges when it comes to directions. Challenges when it comes to going to a new place. The beautiful thing about our church is we're multi-generational, we're multi-ethnic. And so I wasn't really alive during the time in its heyday when maps were MapQuest and GPS navigation. I always joke all the time, and I always say, like, if I was alive, like, in the 60s and the 70s, 80s, early 90s, where we were just going by maps to get to where we were going, I would not get there. Am I alone? Or can I get a good amen? All the millennials raise their hand. It's interesting. But it's interesting because, you know, there's always some type of a direction or some type of a, you know, positioning system, whether it's physical maps or whether now it's Google Maps. A few years ago, it was MapQuest, and you had some of y'all remember, you had the big old box navigation systems that you would put in the windshield of your car, and you would have the volume turned up loud, and it would give you turn-by-turn instructions to ultimately get you where you are supposed to go. And let's just be honest, if it was not for some type of a guide and some type of a mapping and directional system, we would not be able to get to where we were supposed to go. Or we would think that we knew better than the map or better than the navigation systems, and more often than not, we did it and we followed that path and we ended up in the wrong place. How many of you guys have ever done that before? Where you said, I know the way, and then you find out that you didn't know the way. You ended up at the wrong place. I can't even tell y'all how many times I've gone to go preach in certain environments and go to preach in certain churches that were just like in obscure places. And I was in the car thanking God for my navigational system. But I remember plenty of times where I would think that I knew exactly what was coming up next, and I would take a certain turn and go a certain route, only to find out that I caused myself 30 minutes in wasted drive time. Anybody ever done that before? When you thought you were going in the right direction, only to find out you were going in the wrong direction, like that there were some instructions that you needed to follow in order to get to your destination, that you can decide to either follow the directions that have been laid before you to get to where you want to go, or you cannot follow the directions that you need to follow to get to where you need to go. And oftentimes, I believe that just as that happens when we're going to certain places, I believe that all of us right now in this room have a place in life that we want to get to. You have a place, a destination that you're trying to arrive at in your life. For some of us, it's like, I want my family to be better. I want my marriage to be better. I want my relationship with God to be better. That's the destination. That's the goal. But the question is, how do I get there? And more often than not, when we ask that question, let's just be real. Can we be honest today? We don't typically go to God for that. We take it upon ourselves to go down our own path only to find out that we run into the wrong place or we get to the wrong destination. So then we find ourselves asking the question, how did my marriage end up here? How did my health end up here? How did my relationship with God end up here? I believe that some of us here today, I believe that some of us are here and you are going down the wrong path. You are going in the wrong direction. But I believe that God has sent you here today, and he sent me, and he helped me get this message. And I've been wrestling with this all week to get it down to one simple truth. My hope is that today your life will begin to move in the right direction. That your life will no longer be going off the beaten paths of life, and you chase this rabbit and you go in this direction and you follow this person and you follow that route. But my prayer today is that your life would finally begin to move in the right direction. And some of us may be saying, but Pastor, my life is already moving in the right direction. Let me caution you with that prideful statement. Because the minute you think you're good is the minute you are not. You have to constantly be in this position where I am relying on God to direct my life to where it needs to be. But I believe that there's some of us who came to church this morning and your life is headed in the wrong direction. We talked about hitting a dead end last week. But it's indicative of the fact that your life is moving in the wrong direction. And I want to encourage you to let you know today that you're not by yourself. Because all of us, number one, have been in that place where our lives are going in the wrong direction. All of us have found ourselves going down the wrong path. But Jonah can also testify to this. Because Jonah, we saw in Jonah chapter 1 and chapter 2, was all about Jonah wandering from God, running from God. It led to him going down the wrong path. It led to him going in the wrong direction. God had called Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah decides, I want to go in the opposite direction. And it leads to Jonah hitting a dead end. It leads to Jonah just falling flat on his face. It leads him into a despicable and terrible place in a fish. Nasty, ugly, dark, confusing, smelly. Nothing about it is good. Nothing about it is pleasant. His life has hit a wall because he's going in the wrong direction. But then we see something different happen in chapter 3. Because in verse 1 of chapter 3, we see a shift. I want you to look at what verse 1 says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You guys didn't get it. I'll read it again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Y'all still didn't get it? All right. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, y'all not getting it. Let me try to break it down. Jonah got a word from God in Jonah chapter 1. He disobeyed God, went down a bad path. God did not owe him any other opportunity. But in spite of Jonah's disobedience, the word of the Lord comes a second time. Y'all still not getting it? Okay, let me put it in plain vernacular. You should bless God that God is not the God of one chance. You ought to bless God this morning that he's a God of a second chance. And a third chance. And a fourth. Like, you ought to thank God that God did not throw in the towel when you screwed it up the first time, but that God is faithful and that he continues to offer his grace. He continues to offer mercy. He continues to offer you another opportunity. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah didn't deserve another opportunity from God. Jonah did not understand, did not deserve another chance from God. But God showed up. But God, maybe the reason why some of y'all ain't getting excited about this is because you think you deserve a second chance. Maybe that's what it is. Because when I think about this, when I looked at this, the immediate thing that I saw when I was reading this, thank you, God, that you have not given up on me. Thank you, God, that in all the times that I've blown it and made a mistake, you did not give up on me. You still had a plan for my life. You still had a purpose for my life. Even though I made a royal mess of it, Lord, you still offered me another opportunity to move in the right direction. Is there anybody here who is grateful for the fact that God gives you multiple opportunities to move in the right direction? Jonah's a perfect example of this. Jonah found himself hit the dead end. And he finally comes to his senses. He repents of his sin. God gives him another chance. You're here today because maybe you're moving in the wrong direction. But today God is giving you another opportunity to move in the right direction. God, he offers grace to move in the right direction even after we've gone in the wrong direction. And my prayer for you today is that you would begin to move from the wrong path of life, and you would begin to move in the right direction to becoming and being the person that God has called you to be. That if you want to know the secret to things flourishing in your life, it is not going to come by more money. It is not going to come by more ingenuity. It's not going to come by more answers on your own. No, the key and the path to success in living the life that God wants you to live is by you moving in the right direction in which God wants you to move in. That's the key. And that's what you see happening here in Jonah chapter 3. In Jonah chapter 3, God speaks to Jonah again. The word of the Lord, he comes to him. But notice what it says in verse 2. Here's what God says. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. I want to talk about one of the first truths about moving in the right direction. What does it start with? How do I move in the right direction, Pastor? How do I become who God has called me to be? How do I move into a place of doing the things that God has called me to do? Like, how can I know that I'm moving in the right direction? Like, what indicators can I grab hold of? Number one, moving in the right direction always starts with a route. It always starts with the route. Somebody say the route. Notice what God says to Jonah. Go to Nineveh, preach the message that I tell you to preach. This is the route and the direction that God is calling Jonah to move in. And it's all grounded in his word. Notice what he tells Jonah. He says, get up. This implies movement. This implies not staying where you are, going to where I'm calling you to. In other words, here's what's happening here. God is speaking a word to Jonah, and he's giving him directions in accordance to his word. Here's what I'm trying to help us understand. The key to moving in the right direction, it starts with understanding God's word. It starts with God's word. Notice here what God tells Jonah to do. He says, go, get up, go to Nineveh. That's the where. Then he says, go preach. That's the what. God is calling all of us to move in accordance to his word. He is calling us to live lives according to his word. And he tells him to go to Nineveh. Now, let me kind of just give us a little bit of backdrop of Nineveh. Nineveh was like Las Vegas times infinity. Whatever happened in Nineveh, it was reckless in Nineveh, y'all. And not only was it reckless in Nineveh, it was full of wickedness. Remember what God said about Nineveh in chapter 1, verse 2. He said, go preach to Nineveh because their evil has come up before me. Let me give you some more backdrop about Nineveh, some specifics of how crazy it was. Nineveh was such a barbaric type of a city and such a crazy type of town. They would do things like impale people alive. That's crazy. They would do other things like behead people and they would stack their skulls in the gates of the entrance to the city to send a message to anybody who was coming into the city. They would skin people alive. They would even kill babies and young children just simply so they didn't have to care for them. That's the type of city Nineveh was. But why was Nineveh this type of a city? Because at its core, it was a city that was far from God. And whenever you have people or a person who is far from God, their life will always reflect that. Whenever you get out of step with the will of God and with the word of God, there will always be some type of recklessness, some type of craziness that follows. There will always be a lifestyle that is out of control. And what God is sending Jonah to do is he's saying, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach my word to them so that they can turn back to me. That's the whole reason. In other words, God gives Jonah specific instructions. And why would God send Jonah to a reckless place like Nineveh? Why would he send them to a place that kills babies and that beheads people and that skins people? I don't know if you're ready for this, but it's a very deep answer. Because he loves them. I know that messes with your theology. I know it does. Because many of us are like, no, they deserve the worst. Killing babies? Oh, no. There's a special place in hell for people like them. But do you not realize that your sin is just as wicked as theirs? That disobedience to God is disobedience to God. See, we people, we humans, we like to put sin on different type of scales. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In other words, every time you and I sin against God, we deserve his wrath. We deserve it. But yet, we just sang a song talking about, in spite of what we deserve, he's a good, good father, and he still gives love, and he still gives grace, and he still gives mercy. I don't know about y'all, but if God can still love a Nineveh, he can sure enough love you. That means ain't nobody far from his reach, y'all. But you know, there was one thing that Jonah and the people of Nineveh had in common. They were both at one point running from God. Isn't it interesting? We can call Jonah the running prophet. The one who was running from God. But getting back to what I was saying, this whole aspect of the route. Moving in the path that God wants us to move down. Following the instructions that God gives us. These specific instructions for us, it comes in the form of God's written word. And God wants us to move in the right direction by aligning ourselves with his word. Like, how does God give us direction? How does God give us understanding and a knowledge of the way he wants us to live our lives? He does it according to his word. He's given you 66 books. As to how our lives are to look. He gives us 66 books as to what our lives are ultimately supposed to reflect. And my question I'm going to ask you is, how much time do you spend in God's word? Like, how much time do you spend really meditating on God's word? Here's what 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17 says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me say it like this, that the way to life is found in the word of God. Do you want to know the secret to moving in the right direction? It starts with God's word. I want you to think about how many times you have jacked up your life. Were you really following God's word when that happened? Let me answer the question. No. No, absolutely not. Not one bit. Not one bit. Because God's word is faithful. And when I align myself with God's word, I'm getting to my second point, but I want to help us understand something. Like when my life is in congruency with the word of God, it begins to reflect the word of God. What does my life look like? So in other words, you can't just only open up the Bible when you come here on Sunday mornings. You need to be in your word every single day of the week. Before you check Facebook, get in the word. Before you get on Instagram and see who follows you overnight, get in the word. Before you see who likes your status and who commented on your status, get in the word. Maybe some of the reason why you got all this dysfunction in your life is because you don't got enough word of God in your life. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the reason why we don't see things taking place in our life. Are you posturing yourself to hear God's word? Are you positioning yourself to hear God's word? Because in order for Jonah to hear the word of God, that means he had to be in a posture to hear the word of God. This is why your Sunday morning attendance is important. Because you're hearing the word of God preached. You're hearing the word of God taught. But this is also why it's important for you to have your own devotional life where you're in God's word every day. But Pastor, that's a little too much. Is it too much for you to eat every day? Jesus did say, man don't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Like seriously, we put a lot of effort on feeding ourselves. We love to eat. I love to eat too. I'm going somewhere after this, so I'm getting some good food. But at the end of the day, that's not the thing that's going to satisfy my soul. I need the word of God. And my life needs to be consciously connected to the word of God. Because it's in God's word where he reveals so much of who he's calling us to be and so much of what he's calling us to do. And I believe that God is calling us as a church to fulfill his word where we're beginning to impact cities, where we're beginning to impact lives. But it starts with us coming to a place of following the right route. Somebody say, run the right route. Run the route, man. Follow the route. Follow these things right here. This is proven over thousands of years. People have tried to destroy this thing, and it's still here. Do you think that's a coincidence? No. Because the eternal source has created this eternal word, has called this eternal word. And if you would just align yourself with God's word, that's when your life will begin to move in the right direction, which leads me to my second point, the response. That it's not just about the route, it's about the response. Notice what Jonah does after God speaks the word to him. Notice what the text says. It says this, that Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. He got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. In other words, it took 3 days to circle around the whole city. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Do you see what Jonah's response was to the word of God? He obeys. He obeys. We don't like to talk a lot about that in church. Because like we like to come and hear about how God is going to bless you, press down, shaking together, running over. But when it comes to being obedient to the word of God, we don't like to hear that. Pastor, stop judging me. It's not judging you. It's what God says. Obey his word. First things first, obey your thirst, the word of God. You get it. Obey God's word. Obey. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's two ways. There's two things that you do with every single word in this Bible. There's two things that you would do. You would either obey or disobey. There is no in between. And so the question I want to ask us today is our lives, are our lives marked by obedience to God's word? You want to know how you can begin to move your life in the right direction? It's not just by knowing God's word, because a lot of people know God's word, but they stop right there. They don't obey. God says, if you want to move in the right direction, you got to obey my word. You got to follow my word. You gotta actually do what it says. Here's what James chapter 1, verse 22 says. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And we live in a generation where people got a whole lot of head knowledge of God's word, but it has not penetrated to their heart, which now transforms their habits. God says, I want you to live a life of obedience to my word. Are you obeying God's word in your life? Is your life lining up with the word of God? But pastor, you're trying to say I'm supposed to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. You will never find anywhere in scripture where God calls you to be perfect, but you will find plenty of times where he calls you to obey. He says, be obedient. Obey my word. You want to move in the right direction? Obey my word. Do what I said. Just do it. Just do it. Like, just follow it. Like, I kind of know what I'm talking about. That's what he's saying. Like, I put the moon in the sky. Isn't it interesting that creation does a better job at obeying God's word than we do? I've always found that to be interesting. The sun obeys God. The winds and the waves, they obey God. The creatures, they obey God. But God's greatest creation in mankind, man, we got an obedience problem. We got a problem, man. Look at the person beside you. We got a problem. We got a problem. And yet we wonder why our lives aren't moving in the right direction. It's because, man, we're not obeying God's word. Let me swoop down to your level. Let me come to your seat. Like, there's something right now that God is specifically calling you to do. But you don't obey it. And you wonder why your life continues to run off the railroad tracks of life on a regular basis. Yo, why is my life not working? Oh my God. Woe is me. Then you go vent about it on Facebook. Social media. You go vent and bleed all over people at your job. My life is terrible. Are you obeying God's word? Seriously. Like, we like to project our problems on the outside versus starting on the inside. Are we obeying God's word? Jonah, y'all, remember, Jonah got a fresh experience of disobeying God's word. He knows the opposite of obeying God's word. It's called the belly of the fish. It's called almost losing your life in a massive storm. He knows what it's like to disobey God. It's called going down in everything in your life. And I believe if Jonah had the microphone right here, he'd probably say something, you know, I don't want to disobey God no more. Because I know where that leads to. I know how that story ends. I know how that movie ends. And many of us in here know exactly how that movie ends because you've done it. Many of us in here right now, you're in a place not of obedience, but of disobedience. And God's calling you to turn, to move in the right direction. Not just to hear the word, but to actually obey it. What is it right now that God is calling you to do? I remember when God was calling me to preach. I shared a little bit about the story a few weeks ago. I remember when he was calling me to preach, and I knew it clearly from earlier in my early years, in my teenage years. I knew exactly that God was calling me to preach, and for years, I just ran from it, and my life just continued to go down and go down and go down and go down. And I remember being in the service one day, and the pastor got up, and he said, you know what? It's so much easier when you finally say yes to God. And I cried like a baby in the back of that church and said, yes, God, I'm going to say yes. I'm not running anymore. And immediately the things in my life that I didn't have clarity about begin to open up. Things that I began to seek God about begin to actually happen. It was literally like there was a weight that was stopping me from being able to move forward. Now had been removed simply because I said yes to God and obeyed his word. What is it right now that God is calling you to do? Some of us right now, God is calling you to actually get involved and begin to serve in ministry. Some of us, God is calling you to lead the effort in reconciliation in your family. Some of us, God is calling you right now to forgive some people. He's calling you to be generous. He's calling you to take a step of faith. But for some reason, you stand on the boat, disobeying God. But then got the nerve and audacity to ask God to change the situation. God is like, man, if you would just obey my word, your life will move in the right direction. What is God calling you to do? It's time to move from a place of being stagnant to serving others to being obedient to doing the things that God has called us to do. What is it? Because what happens is when we move in the right direction, when we're following God's word, when we're obeying God's word, it always leads to a certain result. That's the third point, the result. Notice what verses 5 through 10 says. Remember, Jonah was called by God to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. He considered the Ninevites his enemies. He considered the Ninevites as people who didn't deserve God's love. We'll see that in the next chapter, next week when we close out this series. Jonah didn't want to go down to Nineveh. He was like, they don't deserve this. No, not at all. Not one bit. I don't want to go preach to those people. Those people. But notice what happens as a result of Jonah's obedience. Notice what verse 5 says. Jonah preaches to the people. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. I love the simplicity of that verse. Because it just simply says, they believed God. They responded. Because of Jonah's obedience, we see God move. We see people come to believe in God. And it wasn't a superficial type of belief in God. Notice what the next few verses says. They proclaimed a fast. They dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. And when word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne. He took off his royal robe. He put on sackcloth and he sat in ashes. And in that culture, what they would oftentimes do to display their repentance, they would cover themselves in sackcloth and in ashes. Repentance is not just something that I say. Repentance is something that I do. Does this make sense? A lot of times people will say, I'm sorry, but your life don't reflect that. So here, the people of God, the people aren't just saying, we just believe in God. They're actually showing it. And here's what the king actually does. He takes off his robe. He puts on sackcloth. And he sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh by order of the king and his nobles, by no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Y'all, he even got the animals fasting. This is serious, yo. The king ain't playing no games. He heard Jonah come and say, 30 days, this city goes to ashes. Take everything off, bro. Time to repent. Respond to God with obedience. And he provides this nationwide fast, this citywide fast all over the place. He tells the people, turn from your wicked ways. We're not beheading people anymore. We're not skinning people anymore. We're not roasting people and using them to feed. We're not doing all this type of stuff. We're abandoning that, and we're going to relentlessly pursue God. That's what we're going to do. That's the result of Jonah's obedience. Let me help us understand something. There's always something on the other side of your obedience, and that something is God's favor. Always. There's always God's blessing is on the other side of your obedience. That's how it always happens. Do you want to know the secret to living a blessed life? It's by obeying God's word. It's by saying yes to him. It's by not running from him. It's by running to him. This is why Jesus says in Luke 11:28, blessed, or in other words, happy rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Do y'all see it here? This is what I'm pleading with us as a church. I want us to be a church that's living in obedience to God's word. I do not want us to be a church of people who come in here on a Sunday morning and we hear the word of God preaching and we just go through the motions where we read God's word throughout the course of the week, but we don't live by it. And then wonder why we live in these simple, stale lives that aren't even a good witness to the community. But when we decide to obey God and take God at his word, that's when transformation takes place. That's when we see moves of God take place. And notice what happens in verse 10. The Bible says that God, notice what happened, saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. And so God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. Why is this so important? Because the people of Nineveh deserved God's perfect, holy judgment. God is a holy judge who judges sin. He is perfect in that way, but he's also perfect in love, which means he always provides another opportunity for our lives to move in the right direction. Thanks be to God that he does not allow our lives to go to ashes, but by his grace, he always gives us another opportunity. But the question is, will we obey? Will we move in obedience? Will we respond to his word with obedience? Will we actually do the things that he's called us to do? Or will we just allow it to go in one ear and out the other? What would have happened if the people of Nineveh said, no, Jonah, we're not going to repent? Ashes would have happened 40 days later. The city would have been destroyed 40 days later. And they would have deserved it. And it's a perfect picture of what our sin deserves from God. Not God's blessing, but God's wrath. But because God is rich in mercy, he sends his son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sin. So that way we don't pay for it, but Jesus does. Thanks be unto God. That's why he's a good, good father. Yes, he is. That's why he is faithful. That's why he is good. Because he does not give us what we deserve. It's his mercy. And it's because of that that it should lead us to a place of obedience. There's a scripture in Romans that says that it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. What was so kind about Jonah going to Nineveh and preaching this message? That was kind. Because God didn't have to send a warning shot through Jonah. He could have demolished the city. But God always offers opportunities to respond to his word, to move in the right direction. Now, I'm not saying that today, as a result of you disobeying God, that you're going to go wreck your life and get in a car accident, and that's God casting down judgment. No, that's not what I'm saying. Please do not take that far, because that is not what it's meant. That is not what it means. Matter of fact, people have shaped terrible theologies off of things like this, because they typically think when disasters happen, that is God judging those areas. That ain't got nothing to do with the judgment of God. No. Here's what God is trying to get us to understand. I want you to obey my word. Because when you don't obey my word, you position yourself to be in places that you have no business being in, and experiencing things that you have no business experiencing. Because I'm faithful, because I love you, because I have a plan for your life, I don't want to see you go down the wrong direction. He says, I'm pleading with you to come back home. Turn back around. Turn from your sin. Respond with obedience, because the result of that is a revival. Do you want to see a revival in your marriage? You know what the secret is, man? Obey God. Do you want to see the culture in your household change with you and your kids? Obey God. Do you want to see change take place in our communities? Obey God. Respond to him. Do what he's calling you to do. Move on the word that he's calling you to move on. Respond. Use the gifts that he's given you to serve. What would have happened if Jonah just decided, I don't want to be obedient? We may not have ever even read about this incredible story of God's grace and redemption happening in Scripture. And what is it right now that's on the other side of your obedience? What thing right now is God calling you to? Because here's what's important to understand. Obedience to God positions us to experience the blessings of God. If you want to see blessings flow in your life, submit to the word of God in your life. But don't just stop there. Ask yourself, God, what is it that you want to do, not just in me, but what do you want to do through me? What is it that you want to do in this community through my life? How do you want to transform Hampton through my life? How do you want to transform Norfolk and Chesapeake and Suffolk and Newport News and all the seven cities? What is it that you want to do? And whatever it is, I'm going to be obedient. Send me, Lord, I'll go. That's what it's about. It's about seeing people come to experience the revelation of the love and the mercy of our God. That's what it's about. It's about obeying God. Your obedience does not just impact your life, it impacts other people's lives. I already shared the story about how we went and served at Burbank this week. What I didn't tell you was how a family said, I didn't even know you guys' church was there, but I live right in these apartments over here called Heather Lake, and my family plans on coming. How did that happen? As a result of people being there serving. That somebody's life now is being changed simply because people said, I'm not going to be selfish and be disobedient. I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to serve. And I believe that God is calling us in two ways. He's calling us, number one, to respond to his word with obedience so that our lives can experience fullness. But I also believe that God is calling us to a place of obedience because he wants to mobilize us to be on mission to impact our community. That's what it's about. And my hope and prayer for us as a church today is that our lives will begin to move in the right direction. And we will begin to obey God. That we will follow God. That we will say, you know what, Pastor, I'm sick and tired of being disobedient. It hasn't worked. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to honor him in my relationship. I'm going to honor him in my finances. I'm going to honor him here. Because I want to see this time of refreshing come in my life, but I also want to see it come in the lives of other people. I don't want to live selfishly anymore. I want to begin to live a selfless life. I want to begin to live a life like Jesus, who was willing to sacrifice everything so that way people could experience the love of God. I want to begin to live my life like Jesus, where I begin to offer up my sacrifice and offer up my service and do things like serve people in radical ways like Jesus was when he was washing the disciples' feet who didn't deserve it. I want to do radical things like that so that way people can see the love and the mercy of God. That's what I want to do, Pastor. I want to live a life of fullness. I want to live a life of abundance. I want to live in obedience. I don't want to just be somebody who comes to a church service on Sunday and just receives. No, I want to actually live in obedience to God's word, and I want to be the person that he's called me to be. I want to serve with passion. I want to serve with commitment. I want to use my life as a living sacrifice so that way other people can come to know Jesus. That's what it's about. If you want to know what keeps me up at night, it is not how many people are coming to church on Sunday. It is how many people are in a community who don't know Jesus, who have yet to come into the doors of the church. That's what keeps me up at night. If you ever wanted to know what's the driving force behind why a pastor preaches the way he does, because people need Jesus. And when I see a city like Nineveh, it reminds me of a city like Hampton. It reminds me of a city like Newport News. It reminds me of cities like the seven cities. People who don't know Jesus, who if they just hear the good news of Christ and how God loves them and how God has a plan for them, maybe we'll see a revival take place just like we saw in Nineveh. That's the driving force. And I'm sick and tired of seeing churches just having church like normal, where we just come in and we just soak up and we just leave out and we live lives recklessly opposed to the will of God and to the word of God. I'm looking for people just like God is, who say, I'm lacing up bootstraps, I'm obeying God's word, and I'm going out on mission. That's what I'm looking for. Because that's what the Lord himself is looking for. This is why Jesus said that pray that the Lord would send people into the harvest field, that the workers are few, though the harvest is plentiful. There's many people out here who need Jesus. I've had plenty of conversations with people plenty of times who said, Pastor, we don't need more churches. Yes, we do. Because unless you got as many churches as you do people in the community, you need more churches. You need more church planters. You need more pastors. You need more communities of faith that can lead people to Jesus. That's what it's about. We need it. We need more people serving. We need more people using their gifts. Our church is doing fine without you serving, but we could be doing so much better and having a much greater impact in our community if you would decide to obey God. If you would decide, I'm not going to live a selfish life anymore. I'm sacrificing. Because that's what Jesus did. John 3:16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. And I like what verse 17 says of John 3. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came to save you. God is not in heaven keeping score, waiting for you to mess up one good time so he can end your life. That is not the love of God. God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin, so that you could receive his love and be compelled by his love to go into the community to tell others about his love. That's the whole point. That is the gospel message, that you did not deserve it, that you and I were like the people of Nineveh, and we were also like Jonah. Jonah, even though he's preaching the good news and preaching a message of repentance, he needed to receive it and live it himself. All of us have been Jonah. All of us have been the people of Nineveh. Some of us are there right now, but my question is to you, what will you do with the word that you're hearing right now? Will you actually obey it? Or will you disobey it? I want to see your life move in the right direction. And I'm trying to help you understand something today. But the only way your life moves in the right direction is by obeying God's word. That's it. Nothing else. There is no other secret. There is no other magic potion. There is no other magic pill. There is nothing else. Everything else is futile. Everything else ends in destruction. Everything else ends in a disaster. There is no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, any person who follows my word is like the one who builds his house on the rock. Obey him. Follow him. Do the things that he's called you to do. And I can see it on all of your faces right now. There's something right now that God is stirring in your heart. But my question is, will you obey it, or will you just leave out? Oh, pastor preach a good message. Okay. Will you obey it? Will you run to him versus run from him? Will you obey it? For some of us, is you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to finally submit your life to Christ and say, I'm no longer going to run from God. I'm going to put my faith in his son, Jesus. Because just as Jonah was sent by God to bring forth a message of deliverance and warning and salvation to the people of Nineveh, God also sent his son, Jesus, to bring a message of hope and a message of love and a message of repentance. And I want to receive him today. That's where some of us are. Some of us right now, you're at a place where you're trying to figure out what's the secret to this happening, and what's the secret to this prayer getting answered. And God is simply saying, would you just obey my word? Just obey. Move in the right direction. Move in the right direction, because the result of it is favor, blessings, seeing the miracles of God work in your life. And for those of us who have been walking with God for some years, you can amen to everything I'm saying right now, because you saw a complete difference when you were living opposed to the Word of God versus when you were living in congruency with the Word of God. It was like night and day. It didn't mean that everything was right in your life. It didn't mean everything was perfect. But you had favor resting. Because God does not bless dysfunction and disobedience. He blesses obedience. That's the word for our church in this season. That God wants us to move in the right direction. That maybe some of the reason why there aren't some things growing in our lives is because we're not obeying God. But if we would just obey, if we would just do what he says. But pastor, that's so hard. I know. Die to your flesh. Ask the Spirit of God to give you the strength and the grace, which he will, to obey the word of God. Watch what happens. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. Watch how he moves. With every head bowed, every eye closed. What is it right now that God is speaking to you? What is it? You know what it is. You know what it is. And let me tell you the same thing that preacher told me some 14 years ago in the back of a church service. And he didn't even know he was talking to me. It's so much easier if you say yes. Some of us right now, you are running from the calling of God on your life. You're running. 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 And you're hitting a dead end. You're running in the wrong direction. But today, I believe that God has brought you here so you can turn. The greatest joy for me as a pastor is to begin to see people's lives moving in the right direction. Obeying God's word. Because that's when things in your life begin to transform and begin to look different. No matter how old you are, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're a college student, you're married for some years, you're older, whatever it is, it doesn't matter who you are, my desire is that your life would move in the right direction. Because when it does, that's when God gets the most glory. So if you're here this morning, and you can be honest in this moment, and say, Pastor, my life has not been going in the right direction, but today, I want it to move in the right direction. I want to get on track. And I thank you, God, for the second chance that you've given me. But today, I want to make the most of it. If that's you, that's you. If that's you, I want you to be honest right now. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I just want you just to raise your hand just so I can lead us in a moment of prayer for you really quick. If that's you, if you could just raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Let me just say this for the record for all of us here. Even if you feel like right now you're living in obedience to God's word, that's awesome, that's great. Your prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to continue to be obedient. Because I don't want to stray. I've seen what that leads to. So Lord, for every hand that was lifted, I pray in the name of Jesus. As they have come here this morning, heard your word about how Jonah is running from you. You gave him another opportunity. And he obeyed you. The result of that was seeing a whole city revive. The result of that, most of all, was seeing your favor at work, your grace at work, your blessing at work. I pray that the same thing would happen in their lives. That as a result of their obedience, they would see your favor. They would see your grace. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, every eye still closed. If you're here this morning and you have not ever come to Christ, and what I mean by that is the way in which you align yourself with God is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. The greatest step of obedience that you could take in your life is by saying yes to Jesus. and it's by giving him your life. And if you have not done that today, this is for you. And if you're ready to make that decision, this will be the greatest decision that you will ever make. Believing in what Jesus did for you on the cross, he died for your sin. You didn't have to pay for it. He paid for it. All you got to do is receive it by faith. He resurrected so that you can have a new life. If that's your desire this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, I'm there. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I've wandered. Don't know Jesus. I came to church. Don't know him. Today I want to know him. I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe in my heart that you died for my sins, that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life, even more abundantly. Thank you for new life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. God, we worship God. Amen. Really quickly, while we're in this moment of worship, if you just prayed that prayer when you gave Christ your life, I want you to take that connection card that's in that pocket in front of you. I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. And I want you to drop that in the bucket as it gets passed around in a moment. Because we want to reach out to you and share.